One of the earliest and most important lessons or signs that were taught to us when we were a little child, when we were young, was what? How to do the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was living with my grandparents in Vietnam, every morning, I have to wake up and go to school. And I remember sleeping on the second floor of the house, and it's all made out of wooden planks. And whenever my grandmother called me to wake up and go to school, I was always complaining, "Do I have to?" And I would roll from one side of the house to another, because we don't have beds. We just kind of sleep on the wooden planks itself. I would roll from one side to the other, and then I rolled back from the other side back, and I would hit my grandmother, who would already be sitting up early in the morning saying her rosary. And my grandmother would always, I remember, pat me and said, "Child, wake up. Let us offer our day up to God." And the first thing that we would do together is that my grandma would take my hand and say, "How about we begin our prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit?" And then we would say our morning offering. And then we would, of course, end it with the glory be. And then I would finally get able to eat. Those lessons were very important for me because it was taught by faith, with faith. And all of us too, perhaps, have been taught to do the signs of the cross by our parents or by our grandparents, by the ones who love us. The sign of the cross seemed to be so simple, but it is one of the most important signs, an important reality of our faith, because it reminds us that we begin all things and end all things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We are saved by no other name, by no other God, by no other mean except one God who is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I can spend all days with you, and as a matter of fact, semesters, trying to share with you the mystery of the Trinity. But perhaps that might not be a good interest for you. But all I can tell you that from the beginning of time, God already exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And according to the saints, God is love, and that's what he has revealed himself in the scripture. And love cannot contain itself. Love is always outpouring. It is always self-giving. It is always flourishing. It's always give from the heart. So that's why God the Father, who is the original lover, from that love pour out from himself to the beloved, Jesus Christ. From that love of the Father pour out, we have the second person of the Trinity, the beloved, the Word of God. And the Son loved the Father so much that he gave himself completely and fully. And that love between the Father, who is the lover, and the Son, the beloved, is what we call the Holy Spirit. The one who binds them together, but also at the same time make them distinct. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit tells us that from the beginning of time, within God himself, he is love. And because God is love, his love outpours into creation. And that's why we have life. We have life because God loves us. We have life because he gave us life. We have life because God is love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the lover, the beloved, and the love that come deep from within the Trinity, give us life as he formed us from dust. That's why According to our faith, we are not just some meaningless creation. We are not a clump of cells. We are not some embryo. Before we exist physically, God already loved us eternally. Before we exist in our mother's womb, God already loved us into being and give us that life. And that's why St. Augustine said, God loved each and every one of us as if there's only one of us to love. To think about it, there's only one of us. Only one of us in this world. And God loves us uniquely for who we are. God's love for me is different than his love for you because there's only one of us. But then you ask, how about identical twin, Father? Even identical twin, they might look alike, but deep within their heart, deep within their soul, they are different because God loved them into being differently. And that's why even when science, even when our general society just saying that, oh, the embryos mean nothing because there's no life in them. They're just clumps of cells. But we have to remember that we are just not some meaningless or physical or scientific beings. We are loved into being by God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why our life have meaning. And that's why our life have a purpose. God loves us into being. And he loves us so much that even when in our salvation history, even when his people have sinned, he continued to recall his people back and ultimately send his only begotten Son, the Beloved, into this world so that we might have life. And that doesn't stop there. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven, he sent forth a new paraclete, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with us to bring all things that he had taught through his disciples, through his church, into fulfillment. Are we opening up our heart to the working of the Holy Trinity within us or not? Every single thing that we do at the church, every single thing that we do as a Christian, bear the mark of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What's the first thing that we did when we began the Mass? What did we do? We began with the sign of the cross, right? And right now I am preaching to you, and before I preach to you, we heard the scripture being proclaimed. So from the mouth of the lector, God, Jesus Christ, the Word of God being proclaimed into you, and you receive it through the power of the Holy Spirit, now become permeated deep within your heart, and is taking place and taking life right now. And what I'm sharing with you is not just words. They are the power and the presence of God among us to be proclaimed and received with love. And that's why when we say the Eucharistic prayer and every prayer at Mass always addressed to the Father, because we are Jesus Christ, the church. We are the church, the body of Christ, always offering up our prayer to the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything that we do bear the sign of the Trinity. Because we have been claimed, we belong to Jesus Christ, and we are Jesus Christ because we have been redeemed. And that's why every time we pray, we direct our prayers up to our Heavenly Father, who loves us from the beginning of the world. And we pray only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit, and living, transforming, and deepening that prayer with us. So my brothers and sisters, that's why when we go to Mass, we are not just some dead beat or some dead body. Every time we go to Mass, especially when we receive the body of Christ, we become Christ. Christ is living in us and through us, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to be transformed, continue to be changed, so that each and every moment of our life, we're able to call out to God, Abba, Father, I love you. I give my all to you. My brothers and sisters, the life of the Holy Trinity is living in us and through us right now, because when God looks at each and every one of us, He looks at us with love. And we are called to deepen that love and to allow ourselves to become instruments of the Holy Spirit, so that we can live our life of discipleship belonging to Christ more and more each day, and following and falling in love with God, our Heavenly Father, Abba. And I'm going to tell you one little secret. Many of you tell me, oh, what should I do when I see evil spirit, or when I see temptation in front of temptation? What prayer should I say? What should I do? I'm going to tell you the secret. The most powerful and the shortest prayer that you have been taught is what? The glory be. That is exorcistic. What does exorcism mean? Or what does exorcistic mean? Is to acclaim that God is real and everything else belongs to Him. Let me recite to you the glory be. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. There is no other name except Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, it now, and ever shall be. There's no other name that will save, will transform, and redeem us, except the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And at that name, every knee shall bend, and every tongue shall proclaim that God is God and He is Lord. My brothers and sisters, when we are tempted, when we feel weak, when we are uncertain, always go back to the simple faith that was taught to us. Let us begin all things and end all things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And even when we're tempted, let us call out the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We belong to the great God who loves us, who gave Himself to us, and who has redeemed us. No greater love than the love of God has given to us. And I wish that every single day of our lives, you and I will fall in love more and more with God, to put Him first and to allow Him to be God for us, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. God is God for us. My brothers and sisters, we have here very clearly being proclaimed in the gospel that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life. The Father loved us so much that He had sent His only begotten Son to save us. And Jesus Christ had loved us so much that He was willing to accept that mission from the Father to die and to give His life for us. And God, the Holy Spirit, is working in us and through us right now to bring all things into fulfillment, so that the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is living in us and through us. May we rejoice in the Holy Trinity. Now, when we know who we belong to and who loves us, even in the midst of our trials, temptation, and suffering, we know always that we belong to God, the God who is love itself.